Hi, you're listening to the Sermon Podcast of Impact Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm Pastor Brandon, the church planter and lead pastor. We are a new church in the DC area that is centered on the gospel and sent to our neighborhoods, Northern Virginia, and the nations. Please visit our website at www.impactfxbg.church. There, you'll find our current meeting times and locations. Our prayer is that you are encouraged by the message you hear today and fall more in love with Jesus and others. Thanks for listening.
So you'll want to hear the good news or the bad news? How many of you like to just hear the good news? How many of you are just alive this morning? How many of you need another coffee this morning? Yeah, we often hear, you know, good news or the bad news. I'm like, well, let me just get the bad news over and maybe the good news will patch it up. But this week, I kind of read some funnies of good news and bad news, so I hope this lands well with you, but laugh anyway, if you will, okay? But nonetheless, a story of a guy that went to the doctor, and as he went to the doctor, the doctor says, I have some good news and bad news. And this patient, the guy says, all right, I want the good news first. The doctor says, okay. You have 24 hours to live. The patient goes, what? What can be worse than that? Well, the doctor says, I've been trying to contact you for the last 24 hours. Anyway, you'll get that later today, maybe. But you know, when we think of this passage, and man, as we begin to read this passage of Scripture, Jesus comes and he says, I want to share some bad news with you. His farewell discourse is John 14, 15, 16, and so forth. And 17, high priestly prayer, amen. But as we think of this passage and we think of Jesus on his way to Gethsemane, and that's a powerful place. If you ever get a chance to go to Gethsemane, go there. It's unforgettable. Because to think of that rock and see that rock, literally, where Jesus would sweat drops of blood and would cry out to the Father, Lord, nevertheless, your will be done. And as he would then go on to Golgotha, the place of the skull, and to see that go to that hill, and even there, that is where Abraham laid down Isaac in the old temple of the day. But nonetheless, the crucifixion and to give his life, to lay down his life, to die on Calvary's cross. And all pointing to the cross. And as Brother Mark spoke greatly to us last week, so much this is the gospel. That Jesus would come, born of a virgin. He would die on Calvary's, live a sinless life, die on Calvary's cross. And 3 days later, he would rise again. And we've sung about it this morning. Amen? How awesome. That is the gospel. And praise be to God, though, as Jesus was preparing for that encounter in those days, he comes and he delivers this seemingly bad news to the disciples. And would you read it with me this morning as we read there in John chapter 16. And we begin there in verse 4. And he had already told them, he's like, hey, you're going to be cast out of synagogues. I mean, there's a lot of stuff because you're following after Jesus that's going to happen to you. And he continues to say, but I have said, verse 4, but I have said these things to you, that when there comes when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. And let's stop there. Jesus, he had been telling his disciples, and now again to tell them, I'm going back to the Father. I'm going to where I came. And as they And as they were hearing this, and instead of them going, wow, so now Jesus, you're going to sit down. You're going back to sit down at the right hand of the Father. You're going to be praying for us. Wow, aren't we glad for you, Jesus? All they could think about was themselves. Does that remind you of anybody?
Us.
That's us, right? We're those guys. We're those people. And he said, now sorrow has filled your heart. And as he would speak this into them, instead of rejoicing, this is going to happen. And yet, he put more salt in their wound when he picked up here at the word, nevertheless, a challenge to their sorrow and even to their unbelief, but assurance of his promise and presence. I'll tell you the truth. Notice what he says there in verse 7. He says, I'm going away. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And friend, I want you to know, Jesus will never lie to you. The Word of God will never lie. It speaks truth. It is our only reliable truth. There's so many lies in culture today. And so many things that we'll watch, we spend many times more time watching the news than we do listening to Jesus. But he is speaking into our hearts to say, let me tell you the truth. And as he tells the truth, he says, it is to your advantage. It's a key word today. That I go away. To your advantage. And notice he didn't say it was to my advantage, to Jesus' advantage. He said, if it is to your advantage. You know, Jesus, you're going away. It's to our advantage. No more teaching. No more miracles. No more showing us the love of the Father. No more of all these things. And boy, had they known where Jesus was going. Had they understood, here he's going to lay down his life. Here he is going to be ridiculed. Here he is going to be set before the judicial system. Here he's going to be condemned and then to be laid on a cross and crucified between two criminals, a criminal's death, and have spikes nailed in his hands and feet, and a sword jabbed in his side. Boy, had they known. But it's to your advantage that I go away. And they would say, man, Jesus, are you crazy? But as Jesus said, yes, I'm going away. Nevertheless, Jesus' big announcement. How many of y'all like big announcements? Anybody? Man, I'm always up for a big announcement. Yeah, Brandon, he's like my both hands up. Yeah, man, the big announcement's coming. He says, nevertheless, in a challenge to their faith, he says, the Spirit of truth. Notice this and underline it in the word. It is to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go away. If I do not go away. And as I think about that, Jesus had all authority to set up his own little kingdom. He had all authority to say, hey, I'm going to set up this place over in East Jerusalem. And he said, if you got a problem, you come see me and we'll all take care of you. We have to be traveling over there. I can take care of this all of me. But you know what? Just like life for us, it wasn't all about Jesus. And life is not about us, but it ought to be about Jesus. And it ought to be about, Lord Jesus, you selflessly gave yourself away. And you would say, I've done the part that I came to do. I came on mission to live sinless life, to die on Calvary cross, to bury, be rose again. And he says, the Holy Spirit is coming, big news. He says, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, when he comes. Oh, what he's going to do. And let me just say here, this the helper, the Holy Spirit of God. And you know, seven times even in this passage, he will come. The Holy Spirit is not it. He's a person. Jesus said, I've been your counselor, your helper. Now he's going to replace me as the hands-on guy, the one who will come and will be God incarnate. He will be the God of the that he is of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. You know, as we think of the Apostles' Creed, we're not going to read all the Apostles' Creed today. But the great, you know, we even have a creed so we can affirm, here's where we stand. Here's what we believe. I stand in this concrete belief, and it is who I am because of the Word of God. That's the only reason you'd have a creed. And he said, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Would you say that with me? I believe in the Holy Spirit. Friend, today, if you are a follower of the person of Jesus Christ, I don't use Christian, that is biblical, but I believe today there's too many that go, yeah, I'm a Christian, and they have nothing of Jesus. But if you are a follower of the person of Jesus Christ, friend, I want you to know today, you believe in the Holy Spirit. Because it is He, the Holy Spirit, who drew your heart to Jesus. And we'll speak to that in just a moment. But he, and I just want to give you a great statement today that of this week in that of the Trinity of God. And see, not only is the Holy Spirit, and he gives proof of his great power, because another part of the creed speaks to us that he placed the seed of Jesus in the womb of Mary. In Mary, and Mary is nothing of any special thing of whatever. She was just an obedient servant. Mary gets nobody to heaven. But how Jesus of the Holy Spirit, but here's a beautiful statement of the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three eternally distinct persons of one true God. They each have the same characteristics and personality with different functions and roles. They are eternally distinct, but also eternally unified. They cannot be removed from the other for even a moment. Amen. Amen. And you know, from Genesis to Revelation, the Spirit of God makes His presence known. You realize in Genesis chapter 1, at the very moment of creation, Genesis 1 and verse 26, the Word tells us there, the Word of God speaking to us, let us create man in our own image, imago Dei, reflecting the nature and character, qualities distinguishing man from all creation. Let us, that is the triune God. That is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right there at the beginning. And then as the Spirit hovered over the waters, and now we don't have time to go through all the Old Testament this morning to speak to Him. You can do that in community group on whatever night you're together this week. But one thing we can say is that He showed up in many a way in the hearts or in the lives of people. I believe it, Deuteronomy 30, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. I believe the Holy Spirit, constant work of circumcising hearts. I believe He circumcised the heart of Abraham. I believe he did a work on Abraham where Abraham would leave his country and he would go to where God was going to take him. I believe as the Holy Spirit came upon, there was no dwelling at this point. And yet as He came upon these leaders like Joshua, Numbers chapter 27, verse 18. Let me just say, there's going to be a lot of scripture shared to you today. You can either write this down or if you dare say, hey, I'll go back and listen to that again. But as the Spirit came on Joshua, a man who had much trepidation, but rose up with great courage to lead God's people when Moses was dying. Boy, what an amazing point that was. Moses dying, and now Joshua, God's like, Joshua, you're empowered and due to the Holy Spirit. You're endued of the Spirit. He came upon Joshua that he would lead God's people. Well, he came upon Saul as well. King Saul, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 14. But you know, or I would say 1 Samuel 11 and 6 is where it came upon Saul. But you know how sad even with Saul that speaks to us in 1 Samuel 16 and 14 that the Lord departed from Saul. Boy, how that always brings tears to my life, my heart. That the Spirit would depart. And yet, as we look at men and those as Othniel, Gideon, of Samson, judges, yet temporary empowerment for a specific manifestation of God's power for a particular task, purposed of God. And friend, even at that time, brought glory to God. Holy Spirit is here to bring glory to God. And so we find that throughout Old Testament. But let's go back to our passage today. Jesus would say, rejoice. Rejoice. Holy Spirit has come. And He has now come. And we find, so why has He come? What is His great purposes and plans for coming? Well, notice with me there in verse 8. And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin. And righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Man, thanks be to God. The world about us is so blinded, and before we came to be a follower of Jesus, we're blinded. But the advantage to the entire world is that Holy Spirit has come. And oh, how they don't realize, and even before we come to follow Jesus, how desperate we need Him. How desperate it is to come and hear of Him, because He says He's come to convict. And that word literally means to bring in a verdict of guilty. I mean, just imagine a court case here and a judge sitting up here. And you know, when He looks at each of us from our very birth, you know, those sweet little babies, they're sinners in need of salvation because we're born with our back to God. We're born in our sin. We're born wanting nothing to do with Jesus. And yet Holy Spirit, as God the Father, the judge, and Holy Spirit come to be that advocate and be that one to say, you're judged. The verdict is guilty. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin, the payment of our sin is death and separation from God. And He comes and He says, you know, and He's the paraclete, He's the helper and this counselor. And boy, hold on to this. It's one of the most beautiful things in all the Word of God. And it's beautiful for our day today. When I look at Robin, I think about this. Because holy, this helper, which is counselor, is parakletos. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar by any form of imagination. Matter of fact, I barely got through and I walked out of the classroom with hands lifted high saying, thank you, Jesus, I made it. But you know what? Of the various words I got, this was one of them. He is our paraclete. He is where we get the English word paramedic. The helper, the one with urgency who comes and He gives the counsel, He gives the help, He convicts our heart to say, come to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. You're a sinner in need of saving grace. He's that one. And you know, just as this morning on the way here, man, the ambulance was coming and trying to get out of his way and yet get to church. And you know, in the urgency of when we see that, when we see the ones like Robin who works for 911, that's why I can say when I look at Robin, I think of that. But she's worked for 911 and calls, and I can't imagine what she goes through in that. But you know, it's not always 911 with Holy Spirit. But he is certainly the one that with great urgency, he says, oh, let me tell you of the fame of Jesus. Let me convict of your heart. Let me show you your desperate need of sin against God. And he shows the unregenerate, the sinner, the person, their desperate need for the righteousness of God. Friend, that's our case. And today, if you're here without Jesus and you don't know the person of Jesus, oh, let me beg you today. Man, Isaiah 53, all we are like sheep and we have gone astray. And everyone has turned to his own way. But God laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And friend, we desperately need a good shepherd. We need the great shepherd. And Holy Spirit is saying, let me point you to the all-righteous one, the one who is the judge, who's saying, yes, come to the righteousness of God. Turn to the righteousness of Jesus. And yet he says, then though he shows us judgment, he shows us and he says, yes, the world is going to be judged and we're going to be judged without Jesus. And in our unrighteousness, and let me just speak to this to you, Titus 3, 5, and 6. Because see, without, you say, man, oh, I've done these good things. Man, I know of world athletes, I mean, just renowned athletes, man, they're giving monies to, those are good things. But never forget it, and I believe he convicts us of this, that even in any of the good things we might do, he shows us, Titus 3, 5, and 6, that when the goodness and the loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not according to, saved us, pardon me, not because of our works done by us in righteousness. Friend, we have no righteousness apart from Jesus. But according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration, and get this, and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And you know how often Holy Spirit is like in rain. It's symbolized in rain. Man, it's symbolized in the wind. See, it's just like Jesus, man, yesterday I was sitting on my porch. Man, it was beautiful. Wasn't it beautiful yesterday? I think similar today too. But just sitting there, and man, just praying for a lot of people and sharing that. And that breeze came along. It blew some papers over here. I'm like, yeah, we see the effects of that. And that's what Jesus said. He said, just like the wind, you see the effects and the work of Holy Spirit that draws us to righteousness. That man, a guy, a girl that says, man, I don't want anything of Jesus. I'm just going to go my way and do my thing and think what I want to think and be my own boss and such and all. And that's where I was. I'll share more of that. I don't want any Lord of my heart. But I tell you, as he showed me judgment, man, that's what's before us. Without Holy Spirit of God moving in, he warns us of the nearness of judgment, nearness. God is coming, condemnation, damnation. Man in our natural condition, he, the Holy Spirit, shows us eternal judgment that we're facing unless we turn. Acts 20:21. In repentance toward God and faith for our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that is the urgency of the work of Holy Spirit. And friend, just as he says here that there is eternity apart from God, Revelation 20 tells us there that just as Satan, as he said here, that the one who roams this earth, the deceiver of man, will be cast into a lake of fire. So he says, though, too, a few verses later in verse 15. Of Revelation 20, that all who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who live for themselves, those who said, hey, you know what? Jesus said, you either die to your sin or die in your sin. Are going to miss heaven. Because that's where the work and the power of the Holy Spirit and God the Father and the triune God are forever. And you would want no part of that when you walk away from Jesus. And so today, if you're that person that's in this place, and I was that person for so many years of my life, 42 years ago, you say, man, you're old. You're right. I'm so thankful. Man, Spirit of God had been speaking to my heart. He'd been showing me my sin. He'd been showing me that I was one who was walking as a sheep in my own way, going my own way apart from God. He showed me the judgment that I was facing. And I began to even have those feelings and those things come over me of just an urgency. When I look around me and, man, I think, man, my family should be here. And I'd walk in the house and think, Jesus, have you come? Man, he was speaking judgment into my heart. And I'm so thankful. Even the night of, in 1983, in that Sunday service, that night, even as I was standing there, I was trembling because God has spoken to my heart. And I'm so thankful. You know, the enemy was going, no, you're the preacher's son. You don't need to go there. You can keep going your way. But Jesus is going, come to me. Come to me. You're a sinner in need of the righteousness of God, facing the judgment of God. Come to me. And friend, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for letting go. And it's not walking down an aisle, but it's saying letting go because of Romans 10, 9 and 10, that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. He said, you will be saved. And I'm so thankful that night. I believed in my heart. And y'all grateful for that today? For the day that Jesus came into your life? Man, celebrate it. Because every March, I celebrate it, and I celebrate it every day to say, oh, God, I bless you. I praise you. Holy Spirit, I love you so much. Because you would descend, and you would come down, and you would turn a heart such as mine to saving faith. Maybe today, that's the need of your hearts. Because to be as a follower of Jesus Christ, man, the advantage of for the follower, he has come to indwell every born-again believer. He is indwelling. And my, the word speaks to that. And as Jesus would speak into that and in an indirect way to his disciples here, he said at the moment, that very moment, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, Galatians 3, 27, baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. Man, at the moment that you say, Jesus, be Lord of my heart, he baptized you into him. It's not about a tongue. It's not about anything we can do because that does not bring glory to Jesus. And we'll speak in a moment to that. But how Jesus baptizes. Do you not know that you are God's temple? Pastor Brandon mentioned this a moment ago. That the Spirit of God dwells in you. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, that you have from God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Anybody say glory? Well, that's not much of a glory. So glorify God. Come on, glory. Glorify God in your body. As he mentioned this morning, as we share this moment, friend, the church is everywhere. God's called us to assemble as his people. Boy, don't ever throw it away because it's throughout the Word. But in the morning when you go to work, the temple of the Holy Spirit, as you know, the person of Jesus Christ, has shown up. He's in the house. And now he's saying, be the reflection of Jesus. Come and be infectious. To speak. And I want you to know today too, as we mentioned that a moment ago, of conviction. Man, as a child of God, he convicts us. He shows us our waywardness. We can't say anything, do anything, think anything, have a motivation that's improper to God, to the holiness of God, that Spirit of God does not go, hey, I'm here, I'm living, I'm at work in you. What's wrong with you? Repent. Friend, repentance is not a bad deal. It's a beautiful word. And it's the beauty of the heart of God that he says, look, I'm not just going to cut you off, but you're my son, you're my daughter. Come back to me. And as he does that, oh friend, how beautiful that for the child of God, he will never, ever, no, never leave you. People that tell you, oh, you lose your salvation, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, and many other passages. You can speak about it in community group. But in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, believed in Jesus, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Better than any bank account in Spotsylvania or anywhere else in the world. Any bank vault in the world. It is a guarantee. It is sealed. No man can break it out. And oh, today rejoice. Because he, the Holy Spirit, not only has come to indwell you, to seal you, but he has come to guide you. And I'm not saying it. It's in verse 12 and 13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Oh, wow. Didn't he always say it to us? But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Let's unpack that together. See, the Spirit of God, friends, he'll guide you. Do you realize that he is the author of the Word of God? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed. It is God-breathed. He breathed, as 2 Timothy 1 and 20 and 21, he spoke to the men of God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, it says. I don't want to give you my word, I'm going to give you his word. And then, as many would say, well, how can that be? Well, friend, if the God of glory can speak the billions of stars and planets into the galaxy, listen to the guy, the NASA guy who just spent a year up in space. He'll tell you all about it. I forget his name now. But man, we don't even have to know that. We see it. We know it. We believe it. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in Christ. We believe that Jesus is who he is. And friend, as we every day open the Word of God, and friend, I want you to know, Holy Spirit will not speak to you in any other way. He might speak through a person. But if you're not faithful to his Word, if you're not daily in the Word of God, and man, you got to have a plan, you got to have a place, you got to have a time. It's just like the appointment that you have with anybody else. You got to be there. And that's where he speaks. And as he speaks, and as we read it, as we meditate upon it, the Spirit of God convicts us of sin. He counsels us in the way that we should go. And he reveals to us the promises of God. And he bears witness that we are God's children. He teaches us, convicts us, gives us counsel, produces fruit in us Oh, the beautiful nine fruit. If you know, you know, that's how you know if you know Jesus. Man, how I know that I know Jesus? Because the joy, the love that came into my heart. I've told you before, and I mean it to this day, I grew up with a drug problem. My mother drugged me to church. She drugged me home from church. I didn't want to be with God's people. I didn't have any desire, but I'm telling you, when the love of Jesus, when the fruit of the Spirit moved into my heart, I loved it. Because I love the Word of God. I love the things of God. I'm not perfect. Ask my wife. I blow it all the time. I spend half of my life repenting to her. But I'm thankful, man, if the love of Jesus, if you don't love the things of God, you don't know Jesus. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience. Patience, yeah. Self-control. You go the list. That's identity. That's the fruit. Man, that's the tree that blooms, that you know Jesus. Oh, helps in our weakness, prays for us, comforts us. Friend, like a GPS, man, this week, oh my word, the traffic on 95. How many of y'all just go, Lord, help us? You know, I was going out to travel, as I do a lot through the week. And man, that GPS said, get off. I'm going to Chantilly. The GPS says, get off on 17. I'm like, really? Are you serious? Okay. Go to Hartwood. You know, go north. Okay. Go this way. Okay. Wow, I made it. We trust the GPS. Do we not? Anybody? Come on. I ain't speaking just me. But how great, compared to the GPS, do we trust the Holy Spirit of God? When He's like, hey, go over to your neighbor. Or, man, that sin in your heart, that unforgiving spirit, that thing that's just there that's so, like, overwhelming. It's, you know, poking you. You name it. Are we ready to obey? Willing to step out? Praise the Lord, grace. You know, as you go, as He guides you, as He reveals truth to you. I love what verse 14 says, that the Spirit does not glorify Himself, only Jesus. And let me tell you, friend, anybody that says you got to speak a tongue to get to heaven, ask them to repent of their sin and turn to Jesus. Because they're saying, it's all about us. The Holy Spirit can just show up anytime with me, because I'm me, and we can do just anything. That's foolish. That's of the devil. Because the Holy Spirit, He just said it right here, verse 14, I didn't make it up. He said, I've come to glorify Jesus. And what He says, what the Father says, that's what I say. Because we are in oneness. That is the Word of God. That is His truth. And today, if that's some funny feeling that you go, oh, that's what I'm trusting in to know Jesus. Friend, you could have just eaten some bad pizza. Because Jesus is saying, the Word of God leads you to truth. It is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Let me just finish today by saying these few things. What must we do to confess? I believe in the Holy Spirit. Maybe write these down today. Yield yourself and surrender to His complete control. Do not be drunk in wine, but in excess be filled. Be being filled of the Holy Spirit of God. Daily, Spirit of God, guide me. Today, consume me. Man, just as a drunk man, it's so sad to see that. Or just totally out of kilter, out of every part of his body being controlled of the enemy. Spirit of God, control my whole life. My thought life, my words. Lord, when temptation starts to drag me away, pull me back to You. Because Spirit of God, I'm desperate. Oh, I yield myself to You. Oh, how I need You. And as we do that, what the Word tells us, Galatians 5:16, but I say, Paul says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk daily in the Spirit. What does that mean? I believe it just means surrendering every moment of every day, Jesus, you be Lord. You take my calendar. You think of Jesus when he walked on this earth. Man, he was here, he was, and he was going to a certain place. Zacchaeus called out his name. Sometimes that calendar controls our whole life. When most of the time God is saying, I got a divine appointment for you. Allow him to be Lord of our calendar. Allow him in your time of seeking his face, praying the word of God, seek his power, seek his presence, live daily dependence and desperation upon Holy Spirit. Friend, I'm telling you, to this day, I've been doing the same thing of ministry of the churches for 19 years. And this week, going to those gatherings, I'm like, Spirit of God, if you don't show up today, I'm done. I don't know what to even say to these people. And I don't do that all the time. But if you're going into a meeting and, man, you're making a business decision or whatever God has ordained of your life to do, the place that he's put you as a missionary, or in your home, in your community, Spirit of God, would you come and work through us? That we would take those steps daily of just walking with you. Walking in the steps of Jesus. Through those nine fruit of kindness, of goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. You know, we can't be, you know, the disciples, they were very selfish, very self-centered. We all are, amen? That's why they said, Jesus, where are you going? What are we going to do? They weren't even concerned where Jesus was going. And you know, that can consume our lives as well. That we lose goodness. Man, we become, you walk in the room and the lights go out. According to everybody else, because discouragement's just walked in the room. And I'm not saying you gotta walk around like this all the time. But one thing I know for sure, when we're saying daily, Spirit of the living God, walk through me, look at the difference he makes. And Spirit of God, build your kingdom through your church. And I'm telling you today, and I want you to know this, James 4:5. I love that passage because I heard a preacher preach it one time, that the Spirit of God yearns jealously for you and me. That, man, we would walk after Jesus. And friend, as we do that, may we build his kingdom. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus has said that this was 50 days before he'd go to Calvary. And Pentecost means 50th. And when he came on the day of Pentecost, God's ordained day, as he came, the Spirit fell. And the tongues was glossa, a defined language. And I'm here to tell you, I got a language one time, and it was to go, when I was 19 years old, preparing to go to Brazil on a mission team. And in 6 weeks, we learned about 8 songs and how to introduce ourselves in Portuguese. That's a language. That's a work of God. That's the tongue that he'll give. But how, as he works through us as his church, and may I encourage you this as we kind of close out the door, may the Spirit of God help us that when we gather as God's people, we don't look around and go, wow, that was a great crowd today. Well, okay, maybe you say that. Or, that was a great sermon today. Or boy, that worship team, and they are amazing, did an amazing job today. But would it be, Spirit of God, you showed up today and your presence was made evident among us. And so this morning, as the worship team comes, I pray today, man, I'm preaching on the whole Holy Spirit here. And as God would be at work in our hearts, man, may we be drawn. Is the Spirit of God speaking in you today? Maybe you're here without a personal relationship with Jesus. And as I was speaking, as he was speaking a moment ago, that as the Spirit convicts your heart, as he would convict your heart of sin, convict your heart of righteousness and of judgment, you say, Daryl, that's me. I've never turned in faith toward Jesus to say to Jesus, believing in my heart, Jesus, I'm a sinner. separated from you. Jesus, I believe in my heart that I'm living in my own righteousness. Jesus, I believe and I know I'm facing judgment and will be sent apart from you in eternal damnation. And today's a day of salvation. Today's a day of saying yes to Jesus. Man, and I'm here to tell you this morning, you can do what you want to do, and you can try to go your way, and you can just make it through life. But friend, Spirit of God is life. Word of God is life. And He's pleading with you. He's saying, oh, I'm jealous for you. Come to Jesus, because I want to take resident in you, that I might live through you, that you can live the life of hope, knowing that, yes, everlasting hope in Jesus, living a life of purpose, living a life of peace. Even when the waters are turbulent, I'll give you comfort. I'll give you help. I'll move in and make my residence known. If you'll just turn from you and say, yes, Jesus.
Hi, Pastor Brandon here. Thanks again for listening to our Impact Church Sermon Podcast. If God has spoken to you today or you have a prayer request you'd like to share, please email us at hello@impactfxbg.church. If you're local to the Fredericksburg area, we would love to see you for worship in person. But if not, please let us know if we can help you find a gospel-centered church right where you're at. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram and on our website, www.impactfxbg.church. Until next time, keep living the dream.